This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, September 9, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much for being with me here tonight. 24 hours after the NXT stream, we are right back to AEW coming off the All Out pay-per-view from this past weekend. I am the Solemn Monster, and you guys, well, you guys are you. I see a lot of familiar faces joining tonight. I love to see it. So this was a show tonight. You know, again, the pay-per-view on Saturday, not a bad show, but I had called it the weakest of all the AEW pay-per-view shows that I've seen so far. I stand by that. It was not my favorite. All Out, it had a lot of hiccups in there. The Matt Hardy thing really pissed me off. And in fact, Matt Hardy was on the show tonight. We got to hear from Matt live in the middle of the ring tonight. His first promo, his first formal interview since the big fall from the scissor lift, 10 feet up. So Matt was here tonight, big TNT title main event, Brody Lee against Dustin Rhodes. That was the main event. I didn't know if they were going to have a bigger match on the show. We had some new faces show up tonight. It was a mix of a lot of different things. The one thing is we had a lot of talking. I know a thing or two about that. We had a lot of talking on the show tonight. Was not as heavy on the in-ring action in terms of like the big matches. But it was a direction they had to go in because they're moving new stories along now coming out of the pay-per-view. I don't have any issue with that. They introduced some new faces. There were some developments, you know, with Hangman and Omega. They tried to move that story along a little bit, although I'm not exactly sure where that's going. Is there going to be a turn? Is there not going to be a turn? But they were moving stories around on this show. So I thought it was a pretty solid effort overall. Not a blowaway show or anything like that. In ring, there really was nothing that I would tell people to go out of their way to watch. Really was no big main event on this show. I got to tell you, I was kind of disappointed as main events go. It was a very paint by numbers match, I thought, with Brody Lee and Dustin Rhodes. We're going to get into all that. We have to go all the way back to the beginning, though. We have to go all the way back to the opening of the show. Two Escalades. This was an interesting shot that they set up here, because we had Tony Schiavone outside the building earlier in the day, and you see two Escalades, two black Escalades pulling head-to-head. They arrive at the same time, and out of the Escalade comes Chris Jericho on one side and MJF on the other. It's almost like they synchronize their arrival together, and they both go to speak, and the other guy wants to let the other person speak. They're being very nice to each other, and they're saying very complimentary things about each other. He puts over MJF, "You should be the AEW champion right now." And MJF puts over Jericho, and "I can't believe the fact that you even had to touch Orange Cassidy is criminal. What happened to you isn't right." So it's a mutual admiration society here. They do this thing as they walk away. We get a split screen, and there's one camera following Jericho, and there's one camera following MJF. And they both have the same idea as they walk away. What an idiot. So they were both heeling on each other as they walked away, as two heels would. Actually, they called each other losers. What a loser. And I just thought to myself, you guys were both losers. You both lost your matches at the pay-per-view. So there's something else they have in common. I thought it was good. I actually enjoyed that. It was a little bit different. For an opening segment, I thought it was a little bit different. We had Jurassic Express against the Lucha Bros with Eddie Kingston. I would say in-ring-wise, you know, now that I think back, you know, the whole show top to bottom, and maybe I was a little too harsh on the main event. There was some good action in the main event, and I know the story they were trying to tell. I just think in terms of like a main event on the show, I was expecting, I don't know. The finish was absolutely what I was expecting. I did not expect Dustin Rhodes to win. But it just, I don't know, just felt like a very paint-by-numbers kind of predictable outcome to the end of the show. And I think part of it also was the hyping of the Cody stuff. I actually thought it was something tied into the show. I thought it was tied into his return in some way, or him cutting a promo on somebody. So I think that's part of the reason why I was kind of left a little disappointed there. I was not disappointed, though, in the match here. Jurassic Express and the Lucha Bros, starting off hot, two of the best tag teams in AEW. Lucha Bros, one of the best tag teams in the world. Pentagon and Phoenix. I know he's going by Penta El Cerro M now. I don't think it's that they're not allowed to use Pentagon. I think they just want to kind of market him with their own name that they can have full control over. So anyway, I'm still going to call him Pentagon. He'll always be Pentagon to me. Jungle Boy hits a toe payout to the floor, sends Phoenix backwards into the barricade. He jumps up on the apron, and Jungle Boy, he's just bouncing all over the place. Jungle Boy is great. Love Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is fantastic. And as they point out on commentary, only 23 years old. So is MJF. Actually, the two of them had a match back at Double or Nothing. That was, I think, better than a lot of people expected it to be. Those two guys, that's the future. Those are two of your future stars in this company right there, MJF and Jungle Boy. I don't think Jungle Boy will always be Jungle Boy. But those are two of your bigger stars right there. Them, you throw Darby Allin in there, you throw Hangman Page. Sprinkle a few main eventers on top, like a Kenny Omega, like a Chris Jericho or a Jon Moxley, and who knows who else they might pick up in the next year, 2 years. And they've got a solid core to build off of an AEW. The problem is, I will say this, the thing that AEW has to be very careful with is they have so much talent, I think, under contract. When I saw Nyla Rose come out tonight with Vicky Guerrero, my first thought was, holy shit, I forgot that Vicky Guerrero became the manager of Nyla Rose. Now, maybe Nyla's made some appearances on Dark, but as far as Dynamite goes, you know, they kind of built that up. Who's going to be her new manager? Vicky made her debut, and it's as if we haven't seen them since. And I think it's just because they have to, you know, constantly rotate people out. And that's not a bad thing. I don't think everybody has to be on the show every week, but it just goes to show you, they're probably waiting for that second show. They have a second show as part of their new contract. No word on when that show is coming. It may not come this year, but if it's another hour-long show, I think that'll do wonders for them in terms of getting more people featured. So that's the one thing they have to be careful with. They almost have too much talent. So Jungle Boy, he does the tope to Phoenix. He jumps up on the apron, and he's going to do another move, it looks like, to Pentagon. And Pentagon shoves Jungle Boy off the ropes, and he goes right down into a super kick by Phoenix on the floor. So that takes out Jungle Boy for a bit. Eventually, he gets the tag. In comes Luchasaurus. He hits this move. They called it the Slam Before Time. Is that what they're calling this thing? Really? The Slam Before... God, I haven't thought about that show, the Land Before Time, right? That was the TV show? God, I haven't thought of that show in years. Land Before Time. Holy shit. Well, he calls it the Slam Before Time. We had Phoenix on the top rope, and Luchasaurus reached up and grabbed him and chokeslammed him off. Phoenix almost landed on his head. I mean, this guy came right down on his head. I winced, but thankfully he was okay. That was a close call, though. Lucha Bros hit the foot stomp into the package pile driver combo to Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy kicked out. That's their finish. That's their finish, and Jungle Boy kicked out. Penta tagged in his brother. So now Phoenix is the legal man. That people telling me it was a movie. That's right, it was a movie, not a TV. I thought it was a TV show too, wasn't it? I'm almost positive it was also a TV show. A lot of movies get made into TV shows. But yeah, Penta tags in his brother, and in comes Phoenix, and they set up for a destroyer. And what they're going to do here is Pentagon is on the middle rope on the inside. He's going to come off the ropes with a destroyer. Well, Jungle Boy sends Phoenix into the corner. He reverses Phoenix in, and Penta hits a destroyer to his own brother. And poor Phoenix gets spiked, pops right back up, gets rolled up. And Jungle Boy picks up the surprise win for the Jurassic Express. Phoenix is not happy about this. He's shoving Pentagon when the match is over. Eddie Kingston, who of course is now managing them, and the Butcher and the Blade. Eddie Kingston is not happy about any of this. I mean, the guy just formed a new faction. All of a sudden, these two guys are at each other's throats. It's only been a few weeks. So he tells the Butcher and the Blade, separate them. Eddie Kingston's trying to talk some sense into them. You know, your brothers. Stop it. Stop it. Sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger from Kindergarten Cop. Stop it. Stop it. Tells him to make up, shake hands. And Eddie Kingston, if you noticed, brought up a very interesting point, the same point that I brought up during my All Out review, which is the fact that he was never eliminated from the Battle Royal at the pay-per-view. Eddie Kingston went under the bottom rope, and when he was thrown from the buckles, he was out on the apron, he got thrown from the buckles by Lance Archer. He did not go out over the top rope. So Eddie Kingston, he did not lose in that Battle Royal. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know, you know, he brought it up. He doesn't want people to forget what that means as far as, you know, does AEW owe him something? I don't think he's going to get a world title match. Although, John Moxley against Eddie Kingston, maybe like no DQ. That could be a fun match, right? That could be a fun brawl. But yes, as soon as he mentioned that, I said, aha, you see, I was wondering if they were going to bring that up. Eddie Kingston was never eliminated at that pay-per-view. Never eliminated. We got to get to this segment. Matt Hardy. This is what everybody was waiting for. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people were waiting for this. Matt Hardy took a bad fall at All Out. He took a nasty fall. You see the little, in the artwork there, the little boo-boo he has on his head, little Band-Aid. Right? We can all have a little bit of fun here because thankfully he's okay. But Matt Hardy took a very nasty fall that could have really ended very badly. And thankfully it didn't. But at the time, we didn't know how bad it was. Clearly he was rattled. Clearly he was hurt, whether he wanted to admit it or not. He wasn't all there. And there was a big controversy. And it was really the first time, I think, that AEW came away from a show like that getting the kind of criticism that they were getting. And you know what? They deserved every ounce of it because the way they handled that situation was poor. And the way they tried to cover their ass and all the different explanations from Tony Schiavone, who would say one thing and then have to walk it back. So it was not a good night with the Matt Hardy stuff for AEW. I don't even blame Matt. I mean, I could blame him and Sammy for doing something stupid, but If you let them do it, every wrestler is going to do something stupid. Every wrestler wants to take some big bump, you know, so that people are going to remember their match for. That's on AEW. So Matt Hardy was here tonight, and he was humbled. He looked good. He said he was humbled by all of the love and all of the support that he had received on social media. That's actually a good point. Entertained in the chat. Brings up the Sean Spears unprotected chair shot to Cody. That's true. That was the first time. This was the second time. That was pretty brutal, too. Although, supposedly, that was a gimmick chair. They at least tried to gimmick the chair, if they are to be believed. And it just, the way he hit him with the chair, it just did not work out the way they wanted it to work out. But Matt said that after a myriad of tests, he is expected to make a 100% full recovery. A full recovery from what? He never said. The only line we got from AEW is that he's fine. He had tests. He's fine. That's what Tony Khan said. So unless they're just talking as far as, you know, making sure that everything is okay, taking extra precautions and all that, I would love to know. 100% from what exactly? He never said what the recovery was from. Matt called himself a very lucky man. He pointed out his family. His wife, Rebby, was there. Rebby was there with their newborn son. King Maxwell was not there. King Maxwell was holding down the Hardy fort back at home, maybe with an itchweed. But he apologized. Matt apologized for everything that he put people through. I mean, look, he has nothing to apologize for. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything that I wouldn't have expected any other wrestler to do, right? He wanted to finish the match. Not his call to make, but I didn't think he had anything to apologize for. The company probably did, but not Matt. But he said, now it's time for him to go and get healthy again. So until he's cleared, so if that's to be believed, he's not cleared to compete. That I assume is just them being safe. After what happened on Saturday, I would not want Matt Hardy back in the ring on Wednesday. Not after the shitstorm that company got. You're not going to put him in the ring tonight on Dynamite. So he said he's going to take time to get healthy. And when he's ready to be cleared, he wants to come back. He wants to get ranked. And he wants to work his way up. He wants to work his way up to the AEW Championship. That's his goal. He wants to work his way up the ranks. So I thought with this segment, they played it straight. There was no angle. The whole time I'm watching this, because you could tell I'm a wrestling fan. I'm just waiting. I'm like, all right, Sammy's going to come out. Sammy's going to hit him with a brick. Sammy's going to push Rebbe down a flight of stairs. Like, what's going on here, right? They showed Rebbe for a reason. What's coming? Where's Sammy Guevara? Where's he at? Well, Sammy Guevara was not on the show at all. There was no Sammy Guevara. And there was no angle, which was fine. It was just as well. I thought that this was handled very well, and they didn't have to do an angle based off this. I know it would be very tempting to, but I think this segment was exactly what they needed this segment to be. Let the guy go out there, give a heartfelt speech. It's a great babyface promo. Let everybody know that he's okay. Show them that he's okay. And then vow to come back stronger than ever and talk about his family and talk about his fans. This was exactly what it had to be. The most important thing here, forgetting blame and all this other bullshit, is that Matt Hardy is okay. Because for a while there on Saturday, honestly, not only did I not think he was okay, I didn't know if he was ever getting up again. I mean, those first few seconds after that fall were very scary. So I'm really happy that he seems to be doing well. Let him take some time away. Let him take whatever, a few weeks, however long it may be. You know, to me, Matt Hardy at this point in his career, he doesn't have anything to prove in the ring. You know, I've heard people say, you know, Matt's real strength is creatively, you know, and behind the scenes. And that's really where he thrives. So I think there's going to be a role for Matt Hardy beyond the ring where he can contribute in AEW in a creative way. You know, a capacity like that where he doesn't have to go out there and put his body through all this bullshit. I mean, he's one of these guys who's had a lot of injuries in his career. And he's talked about the injury from the cage match in WWE with Edge. You know, when he did the leg drop off the cage, he can't even walk straight. You ever watch him walk? So he's put his body through a lot of abuse over the years. And now, nothing left to prove, but it looks like they're going to bring him back and do the old vet story where he tries to climb the mountain, and he's not going to win the championship. Matt Hardy will not be AEW champion, but could Matt Hardy come back at some point and be the TNT champion? Could they give him a token run with the TNT title? Yeah, I could see that, sure. That, I think, is possible. But the AEW title, that's just not something that I can see happening. Orange Cassidy. Good old OC against Angelico. Finally, we see Angelico and Jack Evans back in AEW on Dynamite. You know, they've been on Dark in the past. I don't even know if they've been on Dark recently. I think they might have been stuck in Mexico due to the pandemic. But the thing is, like, even before the pandemic, they weren't showing up on TV much even then. So the pandemic was really no excuse. I can never really understand why. Even pre-pandemic, they really were not doing anything. And when they would use Angelico and Jack Evans on those rare occasions, it was almost as if they were just used as enhancement talent. Now I became a fan of their work, especially Angelico, watching him in Lucha Underground. When I found out that he was signed with AEW, I was excited. I said, this guy's pretty awesome. This is going to be great. And then they just didn't do anything with him at all. Remember that stuff at the very beginning of AEW with Kevin Smith? They had Kevin Smith as a guest in the audience. He was supposed to be on SmackDown. That might have been the first week, actually, that SmackDown went to Fox. And they were going to have Kevin Smith and I think Jay Muse probably on the show to promote their new Jane Silent Bob movie. But they were on Dynamite first. And WWE rescinded the invitation. They were victims of the wrestling war. Kevin Smith was the first victim of this new so-called wrestling war last year. But I bring them up because there was a segment where I think Jack Evans was kind of getting up in their face in the front row. That's like one of the only real memories I have of Jack Evans and Angelico having anything to do on Dynamite. These guys are severely underutilized. Unfortunately, they really didn't use them much here either. If you blink, you missed it. There was a little bit of offense for Angelico. Jack Evans was out there in his corner. But this was really just an exhibition for Orange Cassidy. Hit a suicide dive. High crossbody off the top by OC, tornado DDT, and the orange punch for the win. Is that official? I mean, is that the name of the move? Because I mean, Orange Crush. I'm really hoping he has another move with that name already. I mean, come on, it's a gimme. Orange Punch. Call it Orange Crush. Or the Orange Crush. How could that not be the name of the move? Seems obvious to me. So this was just a win for Orange Cassidy. Santana and Ortiz ran in. They attacked OC after the match. Best Friends ran out to make the save. Chase off the Inner Circle guys. And Chuck Taylor cut a promo. And Trent. Trent took the microphone as well. They were trying to be serious. I cannot listen to or watch a Chuck Taylor promo and really ever take it seriously. Chuck Taylor is the epitome of someone who is not meant to be taken seriously. I'm sorry. I can't. Like, he, every time I look at him, he's got that look on his face like he's just going to start laughing hysterically. Trent, though, when Trent took the mic, I could take Trent seriously. More, a hell of a lot more than I can Chuck. I think part of it also is every time I think of Chuck Taylor, I think of the angle or the match from Chikara years ago with the army of ants, with the grenade spot, which I enjoyed. I'm sure it makes some people's heads explode. That's the first thing I always think of when I think of Chuck Taylor, is the exploding grenade. God, how many years ago was that? Probably 2007, 2008, probably, something like that. But they challenged the members of the Inner Circle to a fight in the parking lot next week. No more bullshit, no more laughing, no more funny business, no more games. You know, you wanna keep attacking us and doing all this stuff? We'll do it in the parking lot next week. And it is official. Now they are going to have a parking lot fight on the show coming up next week. Now, as far as Orange Cassidy goes, I like Orange Cassidy. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like he's peaked. I think we have seen the peak. I really do. At least with this gimmick as it currently is. Maybe Orange Cassidy over the years and in the years to come will evolve. I don't think he's really that young of a guy, though. I mean, you know, we're not looking at Orange Cassidy as the bubbly 23-year-old that Jungle Boy is or MJF or anybody like that. But I don't know. I feel like he had the program with Jericho. Jericho was the AEW champion, right? Big, big deal when he first came into the company. Jericho's a legend. He got to work with Jericho. He won the feud. He won the rubber match. Orange Cassidy is not going to challenge for the AEW World Championship, and frankly, he shouldn't be challenging for the AEW World title. I like Orange Cassidy. I don't like Orange Cassidy enough to want to see him wrestling for the AEW Championship. So, I really do think that he may have peaked with this feud, with this win, this victory in the program over Jericho, and now it's just kind of like, where do you go from here? You know? How much farther can you go with this character as it is right now? Because eventually people are just going to get tired of it. They're going to want to see something new. They're going to want to see something different. You know, I just wonder what's next for him. What's next that could be higher than where he just was? And I'm not seeing it. Because there's a lot of other people occupying those spots right now. So I feel like a match like this with Angelico, they just have to feed him wins, because you don't want to squander whatever momentum he has coming out of those wins over Jericho. But at the same time, I don't see a good spot for him. I really don't. A good spot where he'll be prominently featured or wrestling for a championship, I don't see it. So I almost feel like he's destined to go back on the back burner very soon. Alex Marvez was in the back trying to get an interview with the Young Bucks. And he's knocking on the door. The most awkward door knocking I've ever seen, by the way. Alex Marvez is just very awkward in general when I see him on TV. He's not really a TV guy. Alex Marvez has been doing articles and journalism and that stuff in I think, is it the Sun Sentinel or what's the main paper down there in Florida that he writes for? But he's been around for ages. I mean, going back to at least the late 90s, I've heard his name, you know, his byline mentioned. He's not a TV guy. And that's why they had him doing commentary at first, and it didn't last very long because it was not the right role for him. This is a better role for him, but he's still very, very awkward. I'm sure he's a really nice guy, but he's like, he's knocking, and then looking back at the camera, and then knocking, and then looking back at the camera. If I were the Young Bucks, I would have kicked him in the face too. Eventually, the Young Bucks opened the door. Double super kick. Stereo super kicks to poor Alex Marvez, and they took him down. And we found out later on that Tony Khan personally fined each of the Young Bucks $5,000 for putting their hand or their feet, I guess, on poor Alex Marvez. Tony Schiavone was in the ring with Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford to find out who the best man would be for Kip's wedding. This is one of the big segments on the show tonight, and we're going to get into it. But first, I want to read off some of these super chats that are coming in hot and heavy here, and I do appreciate you for it. Jacob Donnelly, you were A number one tonight. You were the first guy dropping some super chat. Very entertained by the show, he said. Genuinely popped seeing Rusev. Garris Vakarian, also very excited about what we saw in the segment. And Jacob again, talking about them flashing that NWA women's title match. I'm going to talk about that later. I don't know how many people even may have missed that. It was so brief. It was so quick, the mention of it at the end of the show for next week, that I feel like it deserves more attention. And Tamara Davis, shout out to Tamara. She is one of the wrenches in the chat, so do show her some love. That scene in the Big Show preview when the guy held the woman up by the sword in his mouth had me shook. And Traben, I assume she's talking about Cody's new show. And Traben Parker with the $5. Miro and Riho should tag soon. And Rican's son, worst breaking news, a cookbook or a game show host. Oh, hey, Renee Young is very excited about that cookbook, by the way. See, that I don't blame her for. People just let their imagination run wild when Renee made that announcement. I knew it was going to be something like that. I thought maybe like a new TV show gig for her or something. Then she announced that she has a cookbook coming out, and everyone's like, that's it? Like, what'd you expect? What did you expect? You know, she's using a lingerie shoot for Sports Illustrated or something? I mean, come on. What did you expect? Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone was in the ring with Kip Sabian. Now, Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian are getting married. AEW is doing what every wrestling promotion does. WWE has done it to death over the years. We've seen Impact do it. You got to have the wrestling wedding. You got to have the wrestling wedding. Usually wrestling weddings are good for ratings. We'll find out. But they're getting married soon. They're actually getting married in real life, but they're getting married on the show as well. But we were first going to have to find out who his best man was. And Sabian kicks Tony out of the ring. He goes, I don't need you for this. I'm going to do this myself. Get out of the ring. And he goes to introduce his best man, and out comes a fan. I think he called him, did he call him Fluff or Fluffy? He's a big guy. Comes out in his Hawaiian-looking shirt. Shorts. He's certainly dressed for the occasion. Although I guess they're in Florida, so he did dress for the occasion. But he comes out, and he is a fan of Kip's from Twitch. So Kip Sabian, every time he's on TV, he's promoting his Twitch channel. And he refers to the fan as a fan of his from Twitch. He says, I called you the best on Twitch. I didn't mean you were my best man. He goes, get out of here. Get out of here. How did this guy even had access to Dynamite if Kip didn't bring him in? What does that say about the security at AEW? Tony Khan needs to work on that too. So anyway, he kicked Fluffy or whatever the hell the guy's name was. Not to be confused with Gabriel Iglesias. So then he tries again. Let's bring the best man on out here. And out comes Brian Pillman Jr., who I think is still signed to MLW, but feels like he's probably on his way out. Probably will be full-time soon enough with AEW. Out comes Brian Pillman Jr. with that wonderful mullet of his. And he's so excited. Man, I'm so happy to be your best man. This is great. And Kip says, you're not my best man. He goes, you're texting me all the time. And I texted you back and I said, you're the best, comma, man. That doesn't mean you're the best man. He goes, you're not even a real friend of mine. And it's like Brian Pillman Jr. just slinked off like his girlfriend just dumped him. Why didn't he pop him in the mouth? Brian Pillman Jr. could probably mop the floor with this guy. But he slinked off like a loser. All sad. His father wouldn't have done that. His father would have broken a freaking crutch right across this guy's neck. So finally, it was time. Third time's a charm. Bring on out the best man. And who should come out but Miro? Yes, the former Rusev has arrived in AEW. And out he comes, and he gets a great ovation from the limited number of fans that are in the crowd. And again, this makes me sad when I see this stuff, just because whether it's Matt Hardy, whether it was Brody Lee in Rochester, his hometown when he debuted that night, or in this case, Rusev, I just picture a Dynamite with a packed building of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people and the reaction that this would have gotten. And all the people that were probably still yet to come may debut on this show, who are not going to get that big pop in front of that big audience. That goes for WWE as well. I mean, all these moments that we're losing out on, it sucks. But the limited number of people who were there, they did make a lot of noise for him. And then he did exactly what I was hoping he would not do. So what were the first words out of this guy's mouth, right? He makes his big appearance here. People know who he is. People know where he's from. What is the first thing out of this guy's mouth? 10 years in the same house, under the same glass ceiling, looking up at the brass ring. Well, you can take your imaginary brass ring and you can shove it up your ass. And of course, cheap pop, because who's not going to pop for that? Now look, I am not saying that this guy does not have a reason to be upset with how he was used in WWE, especially the later years of his career. I mean, this is the same guy who got to ride a giant tank out to WrestleMania, the same tank he claims that he and his wife had sex in. But he got to ride a giant tank out for a WrestleMania match. If you think about it, truly one of the best WrestleMania entrances of all time. For a big match with John Cena. He was undefeated for like a year. It's not like Rusev never got pushed. But when that initial monster push was over, he was never pushed at the same level again. He had the Rusev Day stuff that got over. He's talked recently on Twitch and his certain podcast about Vince McMahon's reaction. You know, these people don't really like you. They're just making fun of you. And, you know, it's very frustrating to hear that. And Rusev has every reason to, you know, vent if he wants to vent on his social media and tell stories about what it was like, you know, working in that company at that time. I'm sure it was very, very frustrating for him. And clearly there was a lot of wasted talent. But my God, if I have to hear another WWE guy debut on whether it's AEW or Impact or some other show and talk about I was held down, the glass ceiling, the brass ring, all we hear these terms all the time. I'm sick of hearing about it. Do we need to hear the same fucking speech every time a WWE guy debuts on the show? Can we please just, you know, save that for the podcasts, save that for the social media, save that for the shoot interviews, come on the show and establish your own identity. Okay? You don't have to come out. We know that Vince McMahon didn't use you to your full potential. The best way that you could get back at them now is to come to AEW and get yourself over in a completely different way. And the company can make a lot of money with you, and then you can turn around later on and say, you see, you were wrong. Look at what you missed out on. But, you know, we always hear the glass ceiling and the brass ring, and it's like, I just feel like I'm so desensitized to it at this point. Now, on the one hand, it's kind of sad that there's so many of these ex-WWE guys who fit into that category, right? Of guys they drop the ball on. You know, that's on WWE. But the first words out of his mouth, glass ceiling, brass ring, like enough already. It's like a broken record with some of these guys. And that wasn't even the only time on this show that somebody took shots at WWE. FTR did later on in their segment. It's like they can't help themselves. Anyway. Once we got beyond that part, my name is Miro, and I am All Elite. That was the best part of the whole promo to me. That's all he had to do was look dead in the camera and go, my name is Miro, and I'm All Elite. And everybody popped. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. That's all he had to do. But he also embraced Kip Sabian. He gave him a big hug and, you know, told him he can't wait to be his best man. And it's a very weird pairing, I will say that. But, you know, what a week for Miro. What a week for Miro. From telling Dave Meltzer that he's going to burn in hell. That's what he said. He goes, one day Dave Meltzer is going to burn in hell. Now think of all the people in this world, all the awful, scummy people in this world that you would look at and go, you know, one day that guy is going to burn in hell. Dave Meltzer is not somebody I would look at and go, you know what? You're going to burn in hell one day. Even the people that I have disagreements with on social media, who I don't even like, trolls and people, I don't turn around and go, you're going to burn in hell one day. So from telling Dave Meltzer he's going to burn in hell, right to Dynamite. Actually, if you think about it, he went from one wedding angle in one company to another wedding angle in another company. So he's kind of right back in the same position he was in before, if you really think about it. Right? One crappy wedding angle to what hopefully will not be a crappy wedding angle. That remains to be seen. This is not the way I would have expected him to debut, with a comedy mid-carder, which is what Kip Sabian is. Kip Sabian is a comedy mid-carder. That is how he is used. That is how he is booked in this company. That's just a fact. That's just how he's currently positioned on the show. Nothing wrong with that. Not the spot, though, that I would have expected Miro to debut in. Of all the guys who were released or fired or whatever by WWE, they had those mass cuts back in April, right? Rusev was probably, I would say for me, maybe the number one guy of all of that whole group that got cut. And if he wasn't number one, he was in the top three that I would have looked at and went, okay, you can't, not everybody can go to AEW or go to these different places, but this guy would be a great pickup for AEW. Rusev would have been at the top of that list. Now, it took a little bit longer, and I know he had COVID, and I guess, thankfully, you know, he's doing fine now, but now he's here. It's a good pickup for them, but not the role I would have expected him to be in right out of the gate. I actually think it could be good. I mean, it could be good for this reason. One of the knocks, I think, on the way that he was used in WWE in the later part of his run, once he shed the whole evil foreigner gimmick, he's a really funny guy. Rusev is actually, he's a charismatic guy. He's genuinely entertaining, and he can be funny to watch. And we never really got the chance to see that on TV. We would see it on social media when he would be on Up, Up, Down, Down, Xavier Woods' channel. He got to show some more of his personality on there. Never really got to see too much of it, though, on WWE television. Being in a role like this, this will be the first thing he does on TV, right? This will allow him, I feel like, to show off that personality that he never really had the chance to show off in WWE. So that's why I think this could be a good spot. Start him off in this role. Let him show off some of that personality. I'm not saying he should be a goofy guy, but let him go ahead and show some of that off, which he never had a chance to before. But I, you know, his real potential, though, goes far beyond an alliance with Kip Sabian. So he'll outgrow this, and then he can move on to be one of the players, one of the real players in that company. You know, look at Brody Lee. Brody Lee is the TNT champion. You don't think Rusev is capable of being at least at the level that Brody Lee is at? I think he can be a step or two above where Brody Lee is at. But you can get him there gradually. They're kind of busy right now at the top of the card. So that's why I think this could end up being a good spot. Let him establish an identity for himself. before you really elevate him up the card. So it was good to see him. I just was not a fan of... It's just so cliched to me at this point. You know, the shitting on WWE, while they may deserve it. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. But if I'm AEW, it's like, you know what? We've heard this before. People know your story. They know where you came from. They know what you went through. This audience that AEW has, they probably heard every shoot interview, every comment you made. They know the bullshit that you went through. It's just such a cliched promo that almost every ex-WWE guy has to cut. Even Brody Lee has worked in little digs at Vince McMahon and stuff. And at first, I didn't mind it too much because it was kind of funny. And they're still doing it on Being the Elite, which is fine. That's what Being the Elite is. But enough. We get it. Focus on you and being, you know, now you're here. You were there, now you're here. Fuck them. Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong and show them that there was a lot more to Miro than WWE realized. And to me, that's the best revenge you could get. Get yourself over in this new company. That's the best thing that he could do. And the other thing, there's so many guys that he could work with on this roster. I look at a guy like Rusev, and I think he would work well with a Darby Allin. So you've got Darby, you've got Omega, you've got Moxley. You know, for some reason, I would even love to see him in singles matches against guys like Pentagon and Phoenix. I just think those could be fun matches. So he's got a lot of new faces. I mean, Moxley isn't exactly new, but he's got a lot of new faces that he can work with on this roster. So this is a good pickup. It's a good pickup for them. Jackalope Music with the $5. I did not see Dynamite, but I popped because I now know Miro had arrived. If I was in the crowd, this is a mandatory holy shit chant at the very least. Level 20 says, I'm okay with it. TNT Basketball promoted the heck out of AEW, so I'm all right with AEW returning the favor with that weird reality show. They could do whatever reality show they want to. I just think the way they built that up, I was waiting for something big. And to me, it was just a total dud. I don't give a shit about that show. Who gives a shit? Who cares? Plus, I mean, I guess they couldn't do anything about the timing of it. I assume all this stuff was probably taped months ago. But you just did this big injury angle with Cody. Now the first time we see him back on TV is 2 weeks later, promoting a reality show, looking fine. But again, timing, there may not have been much they could do about that. Look at all those Randy Orton victims. Those are all the punt kick victims you just saw lined up on your screen there. Big Armada, 1988 with the 10. As happy as I was to see Miro, I'm worried that AEW is becoming a wasteland for ex-WWE talent. And I am worried that their homegrown talent will be overshadowed. It could happen. That's on Tony Khan and AEW to make sure that doesn't happen. I think that there can be harmony between the two. I think a guy like a Rusev you can bring in and he can work with those AEW talents. That's why I just said Miro and Darby Allin, Miro and Omega or Hangman. These are new faces. You know, these WWE guys, they don't necessarily want to work with WWE guys. You know, Miro doesn't want to necessarily work the rest of his career in AEW working matches with Luke Harper and Dean Ambrose. I'm sure he wants to get out there and work with some of these newer faces. So I think there could be a good harmony between them, but that's up to Tony Khan to make sure that that works out that way. Brian Mahoney. My interest in the wedding angle shot from a 1 to a 10. I remember nobody having faith in the wedding of Billy and Chuck. That was one of the best segments in history. I think this could be great. Every wedding has the potential. Every wedding has the potential to be very entertaining. Some are. A lot of them are not. But some of them are. The Billy and Chuck angle, because of the Eric Bischoff reveal, and then 3-minute warning, and back then, it was a really big deal. If you had people from SmackDown showing up on Raw, Raw showing up on SmackDown, you got to remember, we're going back to 2002, 2003, when they actually gave a shit in the early days of the brand split. That was an all-time great angle on SmackDown. But unfortunately, they're not all like that. Tony Schiavone, he interviewed Hangman Page. We had two separate sit-down interviews on this show. Tony had the interview with Hangman, and a little bit later on, we had Jim Ross interviewing Kenny Omega. So first up was the interview with Hangman, and he had his glass of whiskey. Not surprising that Hangman would have that with him. He takes it everywhere he goes. If Hangman had a drinking problem before, after what happened at All Out and losing the titles, oof. That's probably not such a good thing for somebody like Hangman with his drinking issues. But Schiavone asked him, you know, how are you doing? And Hangman didn't seem like he was all there. He was still kind of in a fog. He was in a haze after what happened at the pay-per-view. He said it was inevitable. People kept saying it was inevitable that at some point me and Kenny Omega were going to have a falling out or there was going to be some kind of a split. It didn't have to be that way. He said it was his fault that FTR were in the position that they're in now. He allowed that to happen. He allowed them to get in his head. And now they're the tag team champions. And he said that he and Kenny Omega had a lot of problems, but also a lot of wins. And he said that not having the titles is a challenge that they will take on. So he's talking about this as if the team is not over. He's talking about this as if we're going to work out our issues and Hangman and Omega will ride again. We're just going to get back up and we're going to go challenge for those tag team titles. Kenny Omega, though, he had a different idea. Kenny Omega sat down with Jim Ross earlier in the day. And, you know, he talked about the fact that when he first came to AEW, he thought that it was his job. His role was going to be as sort of the anchor in that company. He's going to be the big single star. He's going to come in and he's going to be the ace of the company. He'll be the first AEW champion. And it didn't work out that way. But then he became partners with Hangman and they formed their team and they had a lot of success. He said he's proud of the run that they've had. They've had a great run together. They've been the tag team champions. But he goes, now, if Hangman thinks that we're just going to reconcile, he goes, he needs to make other plans. He said, the time has come. Gave an entire year to tag team wrestling. And he thinks that it's time now to return to the singles ranks. And to that I say, bravo. Bravo. This is what people have been waiting for, right? This is what people have been saying now. To the point where Omega got aggravated a few months ago and had to address it on, I think it was Twitter, that he was getting all these comments about, God, Kenny, you know, how could you let them do this to you? And when you were in New Japan, you were here, and ever since you came to AEW, you're down here. Where's that Kenny Omega that we saw in New Japan, who was the IWGP champion, having all those classic matches with Okada and Ibushi and Tanahashi? And Omega has commented on this before and said that he viewed his role as being one where he could help make new stars. That was the role that he envisioned for himself in AEW. But we always knew that it would get to a point where you have to promote Kenny Omega as Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega was a big star in New Japan. He could be an even bigger star than he is right now in AEW. We have not seen that version. Rarely have we seen that version of Kenny Omega in AEW. We saw it with Moxley, I guess, maybe in their match. We saw it with Pac, you know, when they had their Iron Man match. But there's only a handful of examples where you can really point to that. AEW would be better off having that version of Kenny Omega back because that version of Kenny Omega was a star and can be that level of star here. He won't be exactly the Kenny Omega he was in New Japan because this is not New Japan. In New Japan, you wouldn't wrestle on television every week and have these storylines. I mean, there's storylines there, but they don't have this weekly television with the constant churn and storylines and these, you know, brief TV matches and stuff. You know, he became a star by doing those long, classic, epic battles, you know, where he would just put himself through hell for 30, 40, 50 minutes. And the G1 and all of these things. By the way, the G1 is coming up in a week. Very exciting. It's the best tournament in all of wrestling. Doesn't feel like G1 season because usually it's in the summer. But the G1 kicks off next weekend. Just wanted to mention that. They put the schedule out today. But if we can get even a piece of that Kenny Omega back, even though it's not the same product. He can't go out there every week and have these long matches. And frankly, the talent that he was working with, and I'm not trying to knock the people on the AEW roster, but you don't got no Okada, Tanahashi. I mean, you know, the top elite level talent in New Japan is very special. There aren't a lot of those guys around to work with. So it's not going to be exactly like that, but if we're going to get Kenny Omega back in the singles ranks, then I think that's a good thing for AEW. They need another big established star on top. The only question is, you watch these segments and it doesn't strike me as if there's going to be any kind of heel turn. Now, is that because they've decided to pivot in a different direction? They just got cold feet and they don't want to turn either one of these guys, so they're just going to quietly split them up and let them go their separate ways? Or is this just the next chapter of the story that is playing out in front of us? I still think Omega's turning. And I think that him as a heel, I realize, especially if we've got Moxley as the babyface champion, I think Omega as a heel would be better off for AEW right now. So we'll see. We'll see where they take things. But that was a little weird. You know, are they changing course, or is this just, again, the slow burn to a turn that is still going to come at some point? Marcy with the $20. Completely agree with the too much talent concern. Too much, too fast, too soon. Rodimus Prime came home to see Miro on Dynamite. Good show tonight. And Rob Bass with the $13. Supporting and sending love on his 13-year anniversary. That's right. Forgot about that. He's got his 13-year anniversary. So congratulations. I got my 13-year anniversary coming up in about 2 months. And he shouts out JC Zephyr in the chat. Chris Jericho and Jake Hager against Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. This was a no disqualification match. It looked like Janela changed his hair color, lightened his hair. Going for a different look, I suppose. Janela pulled a chair from under the ring, and he was using it here in this match. He set it up at one point. He was going to use it as a launch pad. Jericho was in the corner. So in comes Joey Janela, and he kind of springboards himself into the air. And Jericho catches him in the corner, and he drops him with a back suplex right onto one of the chair legs. So he dumps him on the chair. Sonny Kiss got a hot tag coming out of a commercial break. And Sammy Hager set up a table on the floor. Jake Hager, my God. Jake Hager. Now that would be a celebrity angle. Jake Hager set up a table on the floor. And Hager and Jericho ended up throwing Janela off the stage. He fell backwards down through the table, down below. Sonny Kiss hit a dive, crossbody off the top, wiped out both Hager and Jericho on top of that stage, right outside the ring, on the ramp. And he went back up to the top rope. Jericho grabbed the fire extinguisher. He sprayed Sonny Kiss in the face with the fire extinguisher, which is legal. Again, it's no DQ. And that was enough for Hager to hit the Uranage on Sonny Kiss and pin Sonny Kiss. Now, he had Sonny Kiss in the head and arm choke, but he had him down and got the pin. The referee counted the fall. So he gets his revenge for what happened. If I remember, it was Sonny Kiss, I believe, who eliminated Jake Hager, if I'm not mistaken, at the pay-per-view. So this would have been Hager's revenge. So Jericho was angry. When this match was over, he was in a bad mood. And he took the microphone, and he was talking about how he still had that rotten orange smell from taking a dip in the mimosa pool at the pay-per-view. But he talked about he and Hager are now a team. And they're going to go after the tag team titles. And my first thought was, eh. Because I don't really care much for Jake Hager. You know, he's not a favorite of mine. He doesn't excite me. His matches are not particularly exciting. It's Jack Swagger. I mean, at the end of the day, it's Jack Swagger. Jericho, though, in a tag team, I guess this is kind of like the next phase of Jericho goes through these phases, right? He likes to always change things up a little bit. So when he first came in, he was the AEW champion, and he had the Inner Circle. Now he's been doing the comedy thing with Orange Cassidy and working with him and trying to help get him over a little bit more, give him some credibility, give him the rub, which he did, you know? I mean, it was the biggest win of Orange Cassidy's career. He's got two wins over Chris Jericho. But now I look at the top of the card and I say, well, I don't know where Jericho ranks at the moment in the world title rankings. I don't have them in front of me. What role is there for Chris Jericho right now? Right? He's not going to be the AEW champion again right now. There's other people in the mix for that title. I don't think he's going to be wrestling for the TNT title. That's occupied by other people who would benefit from it. Chris Jericho doesn't need to be the TNT champion. Chris Jericho honestly does not need any title at this point. But what else is he going to do? Well, the tag team division is the strong point of AEW. More than any other division or any other single thing, it's the tag team division. They got a lot of tag teams. And some really, really good ones, too, in AEW. And so this is an opportunity now for him to get in the ring with some of these tag teams and do something a little bit different. I'm usually not a fan of taking the two singles wrestlers and just mushing them together like this. And again, I just don't care for Hager. But their tag team division is surging right now with a lot of teams. And because there's no obvious spot for Jericho, why not have him chase after the tag team titles for a bit? Might get some good matches out of it. MJF was also not happy. He didn't win the championship at the pay-per-view. And he blames everybody but himself. He blames Wardlow. He blames his campaign staff. He was back at campaign headquarters here. He blamed the campaign for his loss. And he fired them. He fired them. He fired the campaign staff. He said, it's all your fault. I blame you for what happened. So he fired them all. He turned his attention to Wardlow. And he blamed Wardlow as well, because Wardlow had that errant throw with the Dynamite Diamond ring at the pay-per-view. So he said he had a problem with him. Do you have a problem with me? He said, because I could put you and your family out on the street. And in the end, he said, you know, now is not the time for aggression. Now is the time to regroup and basically just kind of get our shit together and plan to get back on top. So they're still teasing out the possible split between MJF and Wardlow. They're not going to it right now, but clearly it is still something that they seem to be building towards that direction. Maybe we'll get babyface Wardlow coming out of this. Jon Moxley cut a promo on Lance Archer. We had a promo earlier in the show where Archer was in a dark alley with Jake the Snake. It was raining. And they were cutting a promo on Moxley. And so this was Moxley's chance now to cut a promo. He talked about Archer winning the Battle Royal at All Out on Saturday. Said to himself, son of a bitch. As soon as Lance Archer won the Battle Royal, that was Moxley's reaction. Son of a bitch. I wouldn't want to wrestle him either, so I can't say that I blame him. He said, it's not going to be easy. He says, the only way to be champion is to crawl through a mile of crap and climb a mountain on the other side. Says he is the number one man right now in this sport. Says when you look at Lance Archer, you may think that Moxley may well be going into a wood chipper, but it's not about what he sees. It's about what he feels in his heart, in his soul, in his guts. He is unstoppable. He doesn't see a monster, he sees a man. And when the title is on the line, there's really only one question. He said, do you really want to bet against Jon Moxley? We found out later on when the title match is going to be taking place. I'll mention that later. We have a date. We now have a date for the championship match. I'll reveal what that is a little bit later. FTR. We had a segment in the ring. I didn't really like this segment. This felt like just some, I don't know, this felt like some segment that you'd see on a WWE show with some of the shit they did at the end of it here. Some of the dialogue was okay. I think Tully Blanchard's a better promo than either member of FTR. FTR is fine, but Tully Blanchard was great. Tully Blanchard still got it, man. So does Arn. The Horseman, man. I'm telling you, the Horseman. They never lost it. But Tully Blanchard was cutting a promo calling FTR the best team in the world. There were a whole bunch of tag teams surrounding the ring. SCU was out there, Jurassic Express, Billy Gunn and his son Austin, the Gun Club, right? I've never, ever seen them wrestle on Dynamite. On Dynamite. But apparently they were there. They were there apparently as a tag team. So we have Wheeler and we have Harwood, right? So they're taking turns making comments here after Tully is done speaking. And we had them looking over at SCU and, you know, talking about how SCU, boy, you know, that would have been a great match to have. How great would that have been for us to have a match back in the day? You know, back when you guys were still in your prime. So taking a little dig there at SCU. Then they looked over at Jurassic Express and they talked about their gimmick. That's what Harwood said. Oh, you got a nice little gimmick, you guys. So then they told Billy Gunn, they said that he was a legend in a second-rate Hall of Fame. So that was what I was referring to earlier. More shots. More shots being taken at WWE here. Second-rate Hall of Fame. Billy Gunn is... I guess Billy Gunn went in with the DX induction, right? Yeah, so that... He's not in there individually. But he's in there in a group induction with DX. So this ended with Jurassic Express. They ended up jumping in the ring to go face-to-face with FTR. FTR begged off. And then threw, I think it was alcohol. They threw something in Luchasaurus' eyes. FTR rolled outside. Jurassic Express dumped a cooler of ice on them. And there was a cake in the ring, and all the remaining teams took slices of cake. They divided up the slices of cake, and they were eating the cake. And I thought to myself, wow. We had cake in the ring and nobody had the cake dumped on them. Nobody got their face put in the cake. that's got to be a first, right? But whatever. I wasn't really a fan of this segment. Means to an end, I guess, right? Means to an end. That sets up another match that we're going to see on the show coming up next week. Ricky Starks. I will not stop talking about Ricky Starks. I'm a big fan of Ricky Starks. I've been a fan of his for a while now. I'm really happy that more people are being exposed to him on... I'm not even talking about matches so much. I just enjoy watching him out there cutting promos. I've watched him on the show. I've watched him on Being the Elite cutting promos. You know, the way he speaks and everything, the way he carries himself. The guy's a star. The only knock I could think of against him is he's not the biggest guy in the world. Like, physically, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but... AEW is full of guys that aren't the biggest in the world necessarily, but he's got talent, man. He's got charisma for days, this guy. One of the best promos in wrestling right now. Tully Blanchard and Ricky Starks. So Ricky Starks comes out. He's dressed up in Darby Allin gear, mocking Darby Allin for that ridiculous bump that Darby took at the pay-per-view where they put him in a body bag filled with thumbtacks. And Brian Cage powerbombed him out over the top rope onto the ramp. And so he had like the Darby Allin face paint on. And he was talking about he's relentless. Absolute Ricky Starks is relentless. And he said that when Darby shows his face next time on TV, he said he's going to be relentlessly brutal. He's going to relentlessly beat Darby's ass. So we are going to get the singles match between them at some point. We didn't get it at the pay-per-view. They did the injury angle instead in the Battle Royal. But I look forward to this match between Darby and Ricky Starks. I think it's going to be a great match. But Ricky Starks, one of my favorites on the AEW roster. I'm a big, big Ricky Starks fan. And you should be too. You should be too. I don't usually push people. You'd be a fan of whoever you want to be a fan of, but if you don't recognize that this guy's got talent, then you must have cataracts in your eyes or cotton balls in your ears, because you're not seeing it. Spanish Goddess, I predict it will be Sydal and Darby against Cage and Starks. Dry chicken without flavor. AEW needed to hear criticism after All Out. I love AEW, but they needed some tough love. Well, I think they got tough love. I think they heard it loud and clear. Domination Warrior. MJF sucks. Kenta is better. Okay. Madden's Elite. Vince just dropped his coffee when he was told Miro was on AEW. Honestly, I don't really think he gives a shit. If we're being perfectly honest here, why would he care? If he wanted Miro, then he would have pushed him and he would have gotten him to re-sign a new contract. The reason that Rusev did not want to re-sign, remember the stories about how they were in negotiations? There were conversations going on about him signing a new contract. Obviously, they didn't want him bad enough because they allowed him to walk, and in fact, they got rid of him. It was inevitable that he was going to show up in another promotion, whether it was here or whether it was in Impact or New Japan or somewhere else. I don't think Vince McMahon gives two shits, which is part of the problem, because why wouldn't she give a shit, right, about losing somebody like Rusev, who could be, I think, an effective part of your roster. But, yeah, the idea that Vince McMahon is going to drop his coffee because he finds out that Rusev is in AEW, I don't believe so. I don't believe that to be the case. Tay Conti is All Elite. Everyone's going to be talking about Miro this week. Yeah, that's going to be a big story. I understand it. But this is going to be a good signing as well. This signing will not get as much attention, but I'm going to give it some attention right now. Tay Conti is very talented. Tay Conti, actually, you know what? I would say this. Of all the people who got released a few months ago in WWE, you know, you could point to Rusev certainly being top of the list as far as what were they thinking, what went wrong, big mistake. Tay Conti is near the top of that list as well. She improved a lot from how she was when she first came in and didn't even know what WWE was. She didn't even know what WWE stood for. She thought it was prostitution. That's in her own words. She did a YouTube interview a few months ago after her release. Somebody in the company saw Instagram or modeling photos. That's how they got in touch with her to bring her in. She thought it had something to do with prostitution. Then when she found out it was professional wrestling, she was like, oh, okay, that sounds kind of interesting because she's, you know, she's an athlete. But to go from that only a few years ago to where she is now, she's improved a lot. And she could get even better. And she is. She's very athletic. And she's got that, I think it's judo. But she's got that background. This is a good pickup. This is a women's division that needs people like this. And it won't get the attention it deserves. But this is a good signing. She had a match with Nyla Rose. Oh, look, it looks like me after watching Raw Monday night. She had a match with Nyla Rose. Conti looked legitimately emotional when she was out there. This was her big Dynamite, like, in-ring debut. And she seemed genuinely emotional by the whole thing, which I thought was awesome. I thought that was very cool to see. That type of emotion. Real emotion. You know, you can't manufacture that shit. You could see how much that meant to her. That was a big moment for her. She takes this seriously. She's not just here to just have something to do. It seems like she really wants to succeed at this. She really wants to do well. That was one of the things that frustrated her so much about being in NXT. You know, she was constantly floating ideas, and she was wearing these t-shirts that had, like, messages on them about being, you know, chained and held hostage, you know, or handcuffed, you know, not being used. And they told her, no, you can't, you got to stop doing that. So she was trying to come up with ideas for herself, and they kept getting shot down. But I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right? If you're not going anywhere and no one's doing anything with you, that's the thing. It's got to be a mind fuck to work in wrestling and to work in that company sometimes, because there's so many mixed messages, right? You got to make your own breaks. You hear a lot of veterans say that a lot. Well, you know, you got to get yourself over. You got to get yourself over. You got to make your own breaks. But then when you do, you get yelled at, or you get heat. Oh, they have heat. Or no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. So you're getting all these mixed messages in your ear, especially if you're new to the business and you're really not hip to the politics and the way things work and these unwritten rules and all this nonsense. And it's just got to be a total mind fuck for you. So hopefully she'll be a lot happier here. But she had a match with Nyla Rose, and she had shoved Nyla off into the barricade outside the ring, hit a splash from the top rope for a two count. And Conti went to the top for a sunset flip. Nyla pulled her up and chokeslammed her. Conti went for an armbar, managed to get the armbar on. She did lock it on for a little bit, but Nyla pulled her up and hit the Beast Bomb for the win. And when the match was over, Vicky Guerrero cut a promo. My ears, my bleeding freaking ears, the excuse me. Excuse me! And she cut a promo saying that the Vicious Vixens, they are here to make a statement. And Nyla went to go pick up Tay Conti to beat her up some more. Hikaru Shida came out. She had a kendo stick. And she ran the heels off. So away they went. Alex Jimenez, did you hear about The Walking Dead's final season? Coming soon in 2022. I did, I guess. This is the final season, right? Season 11 is going to be an extended season. 24 episodes. Going to stretch out over the next 2 years. That's a hell of a run. As much as the audience of that show, as much as the audience has eroded, I think it's still the number one show of its kind on cable. But they have lost a lot of... I remember the days when The Walking Dead would get 20 million viewers an episode. It don't get 20 million viewers anymore, but the show still makes money for AMC. It still does well, so I was surprised to hear that. But I guess they're doing a spinoff. Yet another spinoff. They're going to have a spinoff with Carol and Daryl. It's not like cartoon characters. Daryl and Carol. It's like when Marcy Rhodes, right? When Married with Children, when Marcy woke up one day and Jefferson became a new character on the show. And she had slept with him and she's like, oh my God, I don't even know his last name. It's like, Jefferson, dear, what's your last name? It's like, Darcy. She goes, my name is Marcy Darcy. I sound like a cartoon character. Daryl and Carol. Matthew Garrett or Garrett. We'll say Garrett. How about Gray? How about that? Make you sound sophisticated? French. Mox is the best on the mic. Love the promo. He is very good. And Nayef Al-Safar with the $15. Nayef, you are awesome. Every week I hear from Nayef. I hear from Nayef on the podcast with the PayPal stuff. Super chat. You were awesome. What was not awesome was this main event. It was good, but I thought that, I don't know, I was expecting something else in the main event spot. I wasn't expecting this to be the main event. That was probably my first mistake, expecting something else that was unannounced, perhaps, to be the main event on this show. But it went exactly the way you would have expected. Dustin Rhodes challenging Brody Lee for the TNT Championship. Dustin came off the top at one point with a Hurricane Rana, took over Brody Lee, then hit a Destroyer. This guy's going around. He thinks he's in the cruiserweight division, this guy. Dustin Rhodes should be on NXT. He's on the wrong show. He should be in NXT challenging Legado del Fantasma. He should be in there with Carlos Escobar, or whatever his name is. Santos Escobar. There you go. Santos Escobar, challenging for the cruiserweight title. Brody Lee went for a power bomb. Dustin slipped out, hit the crossroads for a near fall. So they wanted you to really think that Dustin Rhodes had a shot. They really wanted you to buy into this story. What a great story. Dustin Rhodes has yet to win a singles title in AEW. And he's fighting for revenge for his brother who was murdered by this man. They didn't really focus on that so much. It was more Dustin being selfish and just wanting to be a champion. To me, the story was, your brother was killed by this man. So you want to go out there and you want to get revenge for Cody. So they were trying to get people, I think, into that story. Lee finally did hit a powerbomb, though. He did hit the powerbomb on Dustin, only got a near fall. Brody went for a kick in the corner, but he went out over the top rope. Cannonball senton by Dustin. John Silver of the Dark Order tried to get involved. He got in the ring. Dustin hit a snap power slam, hit a pile driver to Brody Lee. Brody grabs the bottom rope at the last moment to break the fall. Two thrust kicks by Brody Lee connects, and the discus lariat wins it. So Brody Lee retains the TNT title. The Dark Order pick up Dustin. They pick him up, and Brody Lee hits a field goal kick right to the balls. And down goes Dustin Rhodes. So now Brody Lee has wins over both Rhodes brothers. You know who's next? Brandy. You're up next, Brandy. Brody Lee's coming for you. Brody has to take out Brandy now. That's how it works. You got to take out each member of the family one by one. There ain't no Dusty. There ain't no Sapphire anymore. So you got Brandy, you're next up. Sorry. That's how it works. And that's how they went off the air. But they were going hard on this promotion saying, Cody, there's some kind of breaking news involving Cody. You got to stick around. When the show is over, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give you some kind of big announcement about Cody. So again, the whole time I'm watching this and I'm thinking, well, maybe Cody's coming back. Maybe they're going to announce some kind of big return date for him or something. And they cut to this promo, this pre-taped video promo with Cody. And the big announcement was he's going to be a judge on a new, I guess, reality show competition, new competition series called Go Big Show. Not Big Show, but the Go Big Show, I guess is what it's called. And the winner has a chance to win $100,000. And I'm thinking, who gives a fuck? Who cares? You have any promotions I had to sit through for that Miz Cannonball show on USA? I already ranted on that a few weeks ago. I thought we had like a new version of Wipeout. I loved Wipeout. I'm like, oh, this is cool. All right, let's see what the show is all about. I watched the first episode of the show and everybody, it's just people coming down like a water slide going for distance. Like, who cares? We're all like the big dangerous obstacles. I immediately lost interest in the show. I have no interest in watching this show. But good for Cody, I guess. Cody is broadening his horizons. He's trying to become a big star now. He's trying to be the Rock of AEW here. Only the Rock has much better tattoos, I will say. Next week, due to the NBA play... This was kind of funny, actually. So due to the NBA playoffs next week, they were like, we're just going to be honest with you. We don't know when our show is going to air. So right now, Dynamite is scheduled to air next Thursday. If Dynamite airs next Thursday, then I'll be here for the live NXT review on Wednesday because NXT is back to its normal slot. And then we'll just review Dynamite next Thursday. We'll have back-to-back streams again next week. But they said, depending on how the NBA playoffs go, we might air on Wednesday. So basically, we just have to wait and see. Dynamite is either going to air on Wednesday next week or Thursday. But whichever day it is, they announced a full card. This is a packed card. One of the things I like about AEW, they pretty much give you a full card a week in advance. And they may add a match or two as the week goes on. But they at least have their shit together enough where they pretty much know what the card is going to be a week in advance. And they give you the full rundown on the whole thing. Whereas with WWE, you read these stories where Vince McMahon shows up to the building an hour before the show and tears everything up. That's no way to run a company. You know those stories remind me of? They remind me of the dying days of WCW. That's what that reminds me of. Only WWE ain't dying. WWE has their shit together a lot more than WCW does. Business-wise? Money-wise? Yeah, WWE's not going anywhere. But that's what it reminds me of. The dying days of WCW when Nitro, they were still writing the show when they were on the air. That's Monday Night Raw now. Anyway, here's the card for Dynamite next week. Best friends against Santana and Ortiz in a parking lot fight. Thunder Rosa defends the NWA Women's Championship against Eva Lise. This I love. I was hoping that we would not see the last of Thunder Rosa at All Out. That they would find a way to work something out. Billy Corgan and Tony Khan bring her back in on a more frequent basis. So not only are we getting Thunder Rosa back on the show next week, she's going to defend her NWA title. And against Eva Lise, this could be a pretty kick-ass match. So I am looking forward to that. FTR take on Jurassic Express, non-title. If Jurassic Express wins, they will get a championship match. If they don't, then they won't. Back to the end of the line. Hangman Page one-on-one with Frankie Kazarian, Chris Jericho, and Don't Call Me Sammy Hager take on Private Party. And the big announcement about Jon Moxley and Lance Archer, they are going to have their AEW championship match. It is set for October 14th. That is the anniversary episode of Dynamite. It's going to be the one-year anniversary since Dynamite debuted. I think it was October 2nd. I think it was October 2nd. That's what it was. Last year, I think it was October 2nd was the Dynamite debut. Yeah, and then 2 days later, October 4th, was the SmackDown debut on Fox, where Kofi Kingston had the shortest match of his career against Brock Lesnar. So it's the one-year anniversary, and October 14th, we're going to get our championship match between Moxley and Archer. And I'm still thinking that we're not getting a title change there. I just feel like we're not quite done yet with the Moxley title reign. But we have a few more weeks of TV. We have another month of TV, so maybe they'll convince me. Maybe they will convince me that he does have a shot. Valhalla Erickson, AEW, should spend more time growing their company and less time taking petty pot shots at WWE. Oofman Entertainment, and while signed with AEW, Miro can keep his Twitch. Unless he gets banned again. I think he got banned once on Twitch. So if he gets banned again, his Twitch days may be over. Food Hive. I have faith in AEW Creative because 9 times out of 10, they patiently give us what we want. That's how I used to feel about NXT. And that's how I always felt about Lucha Underground. And I know a lot of people feel the same way about AEW. Not everybody, but a lot of people do. Spanish Goddess, EC3 would have been a good pickup for AEW. I see, you know, he's too similar to MJF. I don't know. I mean, I know MJF or EC3 cut the hair. He shaved his head, and he's kind of got like a new gimmick for himself. He's doing fine, though. You know, he got to appear in Impact. He's making his Ring of Honor debut. Who knows where else? He may pop up in AEW. Who's to say that he can't work out a deal? You know, Matt Cardona worked out a per-appearance short-term deal. He's not signed full-time with AEW. We got NWA champions popping up on Dynamite. Who's to say that EC3 at some point won't appear? I just thought there was just too similar, you know, with MJF. Dry Chicken, it's time for AEW to push women's division to the next level. Madden's Elite, Miro versus Cage would be fun. Yeah, Miro versus Cage, Miro and Archer. That's the thing. I mean, I think he can mix it up with the bigger guys and the smaller guys as well. I just feel like he and like a Darby could probably go out there and have some kick-ass matches together. Magician Sapphire. I hope Orange Cassidy has not peaked yet because he's one of my favorite stars in wrestling. Maybe give him a run with the TV title in the future. Well, I mean, it's going to be in the distant future because I just don't see there being a space for him right now. You know, it's just not his time to be in that spot. But now that the Jericho feud has run its course, I look ahead these next 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and what do you do with the guy? There's no obvious role for him at the moment. JC Zephyr, interesting to know Brian Pillman Jr. shares the same birthday as me, September 9th. Also, Miro's debut made my day. Well, happy birthday, JC. I didn't know until just now that it was your birthday. So happy birthday. Well, you're spending your birthday with me. How cool is that? Turtlehead, why can't NXT be on a Saturday? Other than takeovers being that day, there isn't much competition for 18 to 49. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. My Saturdays are usually, I'm doing nothing but preparing for the podcast on Sunday. You want me now to have to sit down and watch another show the day before I do my podcast? Why do you hate me? Why do you hate me so much? Level 20. Would love to have Archer carry Shooter, Shota, into the ring, beaten up just to mess with Moxley. That's right, I forgot Moxley is like best friends with Shota in New Japan. Leather Rebel, what about OC coming for the TNT title? Yeah, it's possible, I just don't see it happening right now. I guess maybe they could be priming him for that, I suppose. I don't really know that I want to see that, though. I just don't think I'm personally interested in seeing that. I feel like there's a lot of other people they have on the roster who could be in that role challenging for that championship right now. But if you have him beat Chris Jericho, you better be ready to do something with him. You could be right. Maybe he's next in line. Dry Chicken. New Japan has revealed the G1 Climax blocks. I won't spoil it for you. Well, I've already seen the... I saw the dates. I did not see the blocks, actually. I did not see the blocks. I did see the dates. So I will have to check that out. King Saul wants to know if I am simp for Tay Conti. Well, if you tell me what that means, I could tell you if I am or not. I see that word all the time, and I don't know what that means. I'm sorry, I'm not up on all the lingo. Food Hive says, I miss Rick Grimes. Well, you're going to get some movies with Rick Grimes. I got a couple of Rick Grimes movies coming out. Casey DeMost, been a fan since day one. You and your shows keep me going through difficult times, even now being homeless. Wow, keep up the good work. I didn't know. I did not know that, that was the case. I'm sorry to hear that. I assume, is that COVID-related with everything going on? That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that, man. And Dried Chicken, Cody defeated, Dustin defeated, and now it's Brandi Rhodes versus Brody Lee in an unsanctioned match for the TNT title, a match that smells... or a PR nightmare. Well, thankfully, Brody does PR for the company, so she could do her own PR on the on that match. Random Guy, 6732. I want Sami Zayn to be the world champion. He is the best. I did think Sami was quite great on SmackDown last week when he was very upset by his ring introduction. And the ring announcer, Greg Hamilton, said, it's not in my notes. I didn't call you the Intercontinental Champion. It's not in my notes. So he grabbed the, he's like, who's running the floor tonight? Come on over here. Evan, is it you, Evan? Come here, Evan. Put the headset on, talk to the truck. Sammy gets things done. Sammy knows how to get things done. Darlene with the $5 super chat. Thank you, Darlene. If and when NWA officially comes back, who are some AEW stars that you could see appearing on Power? Well, that's interesting. I don't know that that's going to happen. But I think, well, we already know a few who have experience working in that Power studio, right? Eddie Kingston, Ricky Starks. I'm trying to think who else would work in that environment. I think, you know, if you send all of Team Taz, I think Taz showing up at the podium with Dave Marquez cutting a promo, got Ricky Starks and Brian Cage behind him, Lance Archer and Jake the Snake. How about Jake? In that old school studio down there, cutting a Jake promo. Let's take a look at what you guys thought of the show tonight. There's the AEW poll. 80% thumbs up, right around 20 or so percent thumbs down. That's a much better score than you guys gave to the pay-per-view this past weekend. I don't know what the final, I should go back and check what the final tally was for that show, but definitely was not as high as this. So clearly you guys thought this was an excellent episode of Dynamite. I thought it moved a lot of the stories along well. There was a lot of talking, but a lot of the talking was good. Got to see some new faces. I did enjoy the Jurassic Express Lucha Bros match. I thought that was probably the best match of the night. I mean, I can't think of another match I saw tonight that was better in the ring than that one. So on the whole, it was a good episode. I think tonight was a good episode. Not the best, but they can't all be home runs, right? You'll have those episodes of Dynamite that just have a different vibe to them. They have like a different energy to them. I think when the show is very talk heavy like it was tonight, you're not going to have that same energy if you had more in-ring action. But sometimes you need to have the talking because you're trying to progress new stories and new feuds. And that's what they were doing tonight. So I didn't really have an issue with that. Oh, look at this. We already got a whole... All the lines are immediately jammed up. I love it. That means we get a lot of audience engagement here on this show. We probably have more audience engagement on this show than most any other show. when it comes to everything. I'm not just talking super chats and likes and stuff like that. Calls, chat, all of it. You guys are killing it right now. 781.
Hey, what's up? I have a couple of questions. They obviously involve different things. So the first one is about the whole ending segment. It's not really a question about it, but more of the fact of the matter that I don't think anybody's bringing up. And I figured I'd defend the segment a little bit. I think the execution was poor, where they had Cody just with all these celebrity guys, and they're just like, oh, that's the big announcement.
Yeah.
But I understand what they're doing, because I don't think people take into account that the idea is actually genius in principle, in that Cody Rhodes is surrounded with Burt Kirshner, Snoop Dogg, and like two pop stars that are like huge.
Rosario Dawson.
Right. Right. Rosario Dawson. You know, big names, right, in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I mean,
Cody being aligned with them could bring more viewers to Dynamite. I think that idea is great in principle. However, I agree with you. The execution was so poor. They should have done it before the main event. I think it would have been received a lot better.
All you had to do...
A lot better, actually.
All you had to do was put a big press release out before they went on the air tonight. And then when they went on the air... Yeah, the way the WWE does it. If there's like a big announcement earlier in the day, you know, a lot of times they'll leak it to like a big outlet and let them break the news.
Right.
And then when you get to the, like when they have a Hall of Fame induction or a celebrity induction or something, and then when you get on the show that night, you have, you throw it to the announcers, or you have a video package, you know, big news broke, you know, before the show tonight, and then tell people about the show. But the way they hyped it up, I just think it was almost misleading in a way. You thought it was part of the show, and then you found out that it was just a commercial for some other show that has nothing to do with any of this. But I agree, it's good for AEW, it's good exposure for Cody. I just think, that, like you said, the way they announced it was disappointing. I was expecting something else.
Yeah, I agree with that. The second question is, I don't know what the status is of NWA, but if it were to come back, do you see Tony Khan and Billy Corgan, because Corgan's been trying to get a TV deal for a while now, maybe he works out a deal where NWA comes back on maybe a TBS with the help of Tony Khan?
I don't think Tony Khan has that kind of power. I don't think that that's practical. I mean, I think they can... certainly have a working agreement together. They can have a talent exchange. There's a lot of things they could do together, but I think you may be overstating the amount of power or pull that Tony Khan has with the powers that be at Warner. And frankly, the only thing that NWA has had to show are the YouTube episodes. And a lot of the early YouTube episodes of Power did, I think maybe the first one did like 500,000 or something. Like the numbers were kind of on the higher side, and then they kind of leveled off over time. And that's really the only thing they have to show for it. Is why would TBS look at that and say, well, here's a wrestling show on YouTube pulling in 250,000 viewers. You know, it's almost like, I'm not trying to slight them when I say this, but they could look at that and go, oh, it's the inferior product. We already have the wrestling on TNT that pulls in 800,000-900,000. Why would we want more wrestling? I don't think they're looking for more wrestling from another promotion. And I don't know that Tony...
Oh, yeah, unless it's from AEW.
Right? Yeah, and business-wise, why the hell would Tony Khan want to let some other promotion get television with the parent company that, you know, already has an agreement with him? That doesn't make sense. I'm not sure if there's any exclusivity in their contract either. So we don't know if... Yeah, maybe there's a clause in the contract that says they can't have any other wrestling on there. So I think it just stick to the working agreement. You know, they're friendly with each other. That's fine. But no, we're not going to see the NWA on TBS.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking my questions. And also thank you for checking out any kind of video I send to you. I do appreciate it. Any custom Tron I do send you.
Oh, yeah.
I really do appreciate you actually taking a look at those.
Anytime.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Have a good night.
All right. Take care. Let's see here. Let's pick up 401.
Yo, Jason, I think you were a little too hard on the show tonight.
In what way?
Well, you seem very negative about a lot
Dick?
Of parts of it.
Is this Dick Tickles?
Yes, this is Dick Tickles.
All right. Well,
I didn't want to introduce myself. I want to go quick. But I just felt that this show was definitely an improvement over the pay-per-view on Saturday.
That's what I said.
But, you know, any show that's only 2 hours instead of four is always an improvement. I felt that it was better than most weeks prior on Wednesday. So I enjoyed it. In the main event, I really feel that, like, Dustin's promo at the pay-per-view on Saturday, that really helped sell it and put it over. Because, you know, I think we all try to think long-term on a lot of these storylines with AEW. But you know what? Just take it week by week, man. This was not a bad main event.
It was a fine AEW dark main event.
Ah.
It was a fine AEW dark
main
event.
It was not a dark main event.
Yes, it was.
So I'm glad to see that Miro's on the show now. I think that he's going to be a big star coming up. But as for a question for you... I noticed that this episode of Dynamite, it seemed to be very, they seem to go easy, whereas it seems like when they lead up to a pay-per-view, the weeks prior to a pay-per-view, they seem like they're really, they feel like rushed and whatnot, like they're really trying to sell the pay-per-view, but once they get past the pay-per-view, they seem to ease back a little bit. Do you notice that?
Well, Tony Khan made an interesting comment. If you remember, that episode last week of Dynamite was not really... well received because it wasn't their best episode.
Oh.
And Tony Khan made a comment and said that he intentionally held back on doing anything like any really big matches or anything like that because he wanted to just save it for the pay-per-view, which I can understand, but it was interesting hearing him admit that he was holding back in any way. It's almost like, all right, we got to get to the pay-per-view, so let's just do a show and let's just get past it and get to the pay-per-view. And that's the vibe I had from the show last week. It was like, we got to get this one last show in, so let's not kind of blow our load. I had to make that joke here, right? We're with Dick Tickles. and let's just get to the pay-per-view. And yeah, coming out of the pay-per-view now, it's like, all right, we're going to branch off into some new directions. And I just said before, like, heavy talking show because they were setting up a lot of different stories going forward. And that was the biggest difference between last week and this week. But when I look at the show from like an in-ring perspective, you know, I said the best match I thought on the show was the one I enjoyed the most was the Lucha Bros and the Jurassic Express. The main event, was fine, but you know, it just to me it didn't feel like a big Dynamite main event. That's all.
All right. Well, I mean that opener that was probably my least favorite match of the night. But so I guess we're just on a different page tonight. You know, we're on a different page.
Well, look,
my last question is...
Got a little limp, in your opinion, but that's okay. It happens. Aww. It happens to the best of us, yeah.
Well, I could say the same about you, but for my last question, I'm wondering, how do you feel about maybe seeing Tim Storm on Dynamite?
I love Tim Storm. And if they could find a good role for him, I think that would be cool, but, you know, Tim Storm's 50... How old is he? 53. He's the elder statesman. And he's a great baby face. He's just this great classic NWA style baby face, which is why I think he works so well on that show. I'm not bringing Tim Storm in to have great matches. So if they have some other role in mind for Tim Storm, I think that would be great to consider. I just don't know what that role would be. There's so many people on this show who are not even getting time on TV. I would not put Tim Storm on Dynamite, unless they have some kind of really great role for him. I wouldn't want him taking a spot from somebody else who, you know, is younger and kind of waiting for their opportunity. So, but I like Tim Storm. I'm a big fan of Tim Storm, and I'm a big fan of Mama Storm.
Yeah, it's a fair point about the age. The reason why I say, you know, maybe they should bring him in now is because he ain't getting any younger. And if they can use him for 3 months or, you know, just like one little feud, hey, give it to him because he's been around a long time and, you know, he deserves something big, especially on a big network like TNT.
Well, when they were doing the open challenge with Cody, they had their chance. They could have brought him in as a challenger 1 week, put together a nice little video package explaining for people who he is and why this is such a big deal. Former NWA champion coming in, and they missed their opportunity. Maybe that would have been the best way to introduce him.
All right, Ben. Well, nice talking with you, Jason. Have a good night. Everybody in the chat, have a good one.
All right, you too. That was Dick. Oh, I cut him off. Dick Tickles. I cut him off. I castrated him. Fried chicken without flavor. I'm sad we don't, or we won't see a Minoru Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy match. Wasn't there a Minoru Suzuki? I thought there was an Orange Cassidy Minoru Suzuki. Or was there supposed to be? And then the pandemic killed it. Is that what happened? I think that may. I'm almost positive they announced that match, but it might have been for WrestleMania weekend. So maybe it didn't happen. Well, never say never, right? One day. Maybe one day. But he's very sad we never saw that. Or Moxley versus Okada in the G1 climax. Damn you, COVID. Oh, well, there it is. That's probably why. COVID. COVID killed it. Minoru Suzuki had a kick-ass match with Shingo a few weeks ago. He won the never open weight title. He never ages. The man never ages. Hey, you want to get an elder statesman on Dynamite, you get Minoru Suzuki on that show. Then we can clear space and make sure we find room for him on this show. Forget Tim Storm. Let's get Minoru Suzuki. That's who I want to see on this show. But they got to work out something first with New Japan before you can make that happen. 484, who am I talking to? Where are you from?
Hey, boss. How you doing? Jeff Taylor. I'm from Boothland, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jeff. What's your question?
Hey, no, I have two questions for you. Mm-hmm. One's AEW related. One's a little bit off topic with WWE and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. My first question is with Miro, a.k.a. Rusev, aligning himself with Kip Sabian. Is he already in the mid-card of doom, you think?
For now, he is. I mean, for the time being.
Do you think he'll elevate himself to the main event? Or do you think he's going to be stuck?
No.
Okay.
No, he'll be out
cool.
of it.
And then, okay, and my last question, as far as Roman Reigns goes, do you think they're setting up Roman Reigns versus Cena for a 17th title ring as far as him being a heel turn? Or do you think it's more going to be leaning towards The Rock, him facing The Rock?
I don't know that it's going to be either one of them. I really don't know that it's necessarily
good. So?
No, I don't know that it's going to be either one of them. And I think everything is so up in the air right now as far as like WrestleMania and how things are going to be. Because I don't see WrestleMania being in the stadium. So, if they're going to have WrestleMania, the Thunderdome, are they going to have WrestleMania in LA in a different building, a smaller one? I don't know. But to me, if you're going to do Rock and Roman, you've got to do that in a big stadium. And it looks like they're probably not going to be able to do that for a while. So I wouldn't waste a match like that, you know. But Rock's not getting any younger.
Do you feel Roman's going to hold the title for a while, though?
Yeah, I could see him holding it all the way to WrestleMania.
Thanks, boss. That's all. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I think Roman Reigns is going to get himself a nice run. Roman Reigns ain't going to get the Fiend treatment, where he holds it for a week or two or a month. Put it this way, Roman Reigns ain't losing to Jimmy Uso or Jey Uso or whatever Uso he's going to be facing. So many different Usos in that family, but he ain't going to be losing that for a while. Naif, with another $5 drop. No super chat question. He just wanted to show some love for the podcast. I appreciate that. That's great. It's so weird. Like, you know, we had the NXT stream last night, and it's funny because I like to compare, you know, the numbers, like, traffic, likes, how many people peak in terms of like live viewers, super chats, and all that. And it just goes to the point that I've made a lot of times before, that NXT charts a lot lower than AEW does. And the numbers bear it out. And I'm probably not the only one. I would imagine people on other channels would probably back me up on that. The interest level last night, and we still had probably at the peak, I don't know, 750, 800, somewhere in that range. That's low, actually, from what would normally be. You know, and tonight we were over 1,000, 1,100, whatever the peak was. But you could just see, you know, the difference in the level of engagement. NXT, I don't want to say NXT is a dead brand, but it kind of feels like a dead brand, which is kind of sad because that's not how it used to be with NXT. But I've seen that for years. You know, when I compare the NXT content when it goes up, you'll get the rare takeover show where I'll look at the traffic and it'll be like, wow, you know, that did really well. But man, you know, it's been that way for a while. You just see the drop off as compared to the other WWE or AEW stuff. NXT is, doesn't have that excitement level for a lot of people that it used to have, unfortunately. The numbers don't lie. 917, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Tall Monster, it's your boy, JC Zephyr. What's going on, man?
Happy birthday, JC.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I was kind of in and out watching Dynamite tonight. It was all right for what it was. I'm glad that Matt Hardy's okay. Mm-hmm. I was actually scared like everybody else was because, personally, I don't want another, you know, Owen Hart-esque scenario happen on live TV because I had an experience like that years ago where I actually met the guy like a month before he died, and you know, it's kind of something that was surreal to me back then. So.
I met him. But, I met him less than a year before he died.
Wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. But I wanted to ask you something that's kind of not AEW related, but I kind of don't want to bring this up. It's kind of political, but what are your thoughts of the things that Andrew Yang said about, he said to Vince McMahon on Twitter about him just going to take some action against how WWE's been treating their wrestlers?
Yeah, I mean, we've been hearing this for years. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, we hear people from time to time. Remember Congress after the Benoit stuff? They were going to have hearings and we're going to be looking into pro wrestling, and then nothing. And they brought Vince in for like testimony and stuff. And what ended up happening? Nothing. Because at the end of the day, they don't give a shit about pro wrestling. And you might have somebody who kicks up a little fuss every now and then and threatens, oh, we're going to have hearings, or, oh, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. And nothing's going to happen. So a lot of hot air. But at the end of the day, they've been getting away with the whole classification thing for so long. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. It's all lip service.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's the way it is.
So, but, yeah. But I also want to ask a second question, not to monkey branch what everyone's been doing. But I noticed there's a lot of, like, wrestlers in, like, AEW that are on Dark, like Brian Pillman Jr. and others out there. Like who do you think of out of those young prospects that you can actually see being a top star in the near future?
In the near future?
Yeah, like in like maybe two years time, maybe at least.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys who are on Dynamite right now. I mean, you can say Hangman, you can say Darby. I would throw Ricky Starks in there. I said it before, big fan of his work. I think those guys are going to be a lot higher up. I think they'll be a lot higher up than they are now. MJF, I know he just wrestled for the world title, but clearly he's going to be one of the guys they build around in that company. On Dark, I'm not watching Dark every week. Clearly, they're trying to push Griff Garrison. They see something in Griff Garrison. They were trying him out as a tag team with Pillman. Pillman's good. I mean, you know, he's not, you could tell, he's still kind of learning the ropes. He's not, you know, he's not a terribly experienced guy. Runs in his family, but I think Pillman could be something, sure. Yeah, I think Pillman could be something, absolutely. But the real potential I see is in the younger, I call them homegrown guys. Even though some of them,
Will Hobbs and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's another new one. He was in the Battle Royal and he looked impressive. So Will Hobbs maybe is another one. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of young talent and a lot of potential there in guys on Dark and on Dynamite.
Yeah, because I think they need like more. Hopefully that they get more opportunities to shine on Dynamite and not just be in Dark for like another year or two. Yeah, because
Dynamite or
I
that
know
new
that
show.
Everyone is.
Yeah, or that second show that they're going to
be
having.
Yeah, whatever. Hopefully not that big show, whatever the hell that you talked about earlier, because I was just like, what the hell is this now?
The Go Big.
So
Go Big Show. Poor Big Show.
Go Big, Go Home,
well,
whatever.
Poor Big Show had a show. Yep. Poor Big Show had a Netflix show and it just got canceled.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I watched that whole season.
I could say that show.
I saw every episode of the Big Show show.
My friend said it wasn't all that great. That's what he said to me.
It was very, 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 very cheesy. I mean, if you want to picture one of these Disney Channel, The Sweet Life of Zach and Jack or whatever the fuck that show, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it was really, really cheesy, but I just wanted to see, there were some episodes that had cameos from wrestlers. So they had like Mick Foley, Mark Henry, Rikishi. They were in one or two episodes. So I just said, what the hell? I'll watch it. Took me 2 months. I wasn't watching it every day. but I can see why they would have canceled it. There really was nothing special about it.
Yeah, I just noticed the minute I saw like a trailer of the commercial, like one, I think they showed it on one of the shows on WWE.
It's a family show. It was a family show. Not my thing. It's a perfectly acceptable family show. You know, when I was a kid, what did I watch? TGIF on ABC. So I watched Family Matters and Full House.
Yes.
Right?
Perfect, Step by Step.
Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers.
Step by Step, which I...
Didn't someone try to sing the theme song on your show one time?
Probably, yeah. Like, wait, it might have been me.
Oh, my God.
It might have been me.
Oh, my... Well, I know you were sitting bars with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so that's another story for another
yes,
time.
Yes, that's another story.
But, yeah, the... Yeah, so anyway, I just want to shout out to the chat, and I hope everyone's having a good day. And, yeah, so hope you have a good night, and you stay safe and all that jazz.
And you have yourself a great, well, I guess it's not your birthday anymore. It's midnight. It was your birthday.
Well, I'm still celebrating, no matter.
It was your birthday.
I'm still celebrating, not until I hit my head on that pillow and I'm done. That's when my birthday
That's the
is
spirit.
Over.
That's so. The spirit.
So,
all right. Well, anyway,
enjoy
the rest of your night and don't get too fucked up.
I'll try not to. No promises. Take care, man.
All right, you too. That was JC Zephyr. I was going to say you should go out clubbing and stuff, but I guess you're not allowed to do that anymore. Right? Most clubs probably aren't even open. You know, clubbing with your mask on. Where's the fun in that? And it sucks now. Can't do anything fun anymore. When will we once again get to do things that are fun? That's what I want to know. And we can get everybody together for another Sound Off meetup. I miss doing those. I miss meeting up with you guys. But I tell you what, I love these super chats coming in. Indigo. Hey, Solomos, for much respect, longtime listener. And Jackalope Music on NXT. Do you think maybe sending their more popular acts to the main card drains it? Like an artificial break on fan enthusiasm. Well, I mean, if you're talking about some of these NXT call-ups, yeah, they have a certain way of killing the enthusiasm for a lot of guys, unfortunately. They certainly don't do them any favors. Let's do 213. What is your question?
Hey, Solo Monster, what's up?
Hello, Luis.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. You seem to be very amped up, like you just took a couple of five-hour energies.
Nope, I just had some Chipotle carnitas with extra cheese.
I'm getting heartburn just listening to that.
No, it's actually good.
I believe you. Now, did you see Dynamite tonight?
Heck yes.
Wow, I'm impressed. When you call in, you haven't watched the show yet. So, what did you think of the show tonight?
Well, that's because there was no NXT on tonight.
Well, what did you think?
Chris Jericho and Jake Hager in the tag team scene? It's not going to work.
Okay. Was there anything that you liked that you think is going to work? What did you think of Miro?
Miro Day. Miro Day.
Okay, so we got a Miro fan here.
It's so good to see Rusev back on TV.
It is.
Although he can't use that name anymore.
Well, he doesn't have to. He's got his own name now. Rusev is dead. Long live Miro, right? Rusev is in the past. And yeah, he's looking good. He's slimmed down. He's got a little gray in his hair now, I noticed. But he's looking good.
Yep.
Anything else?
So, my question...
Let's move it along.
My question tonight...
Yep.
Sorry, I'm speaking on top of you, too, so...
It's okay.
All right, my question is, now that Championship Wrestling from Hollywood has returned to television, have you noticed something different?
Well, Luis... I don't watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I know it's based in L.A., I guess, where you are. I know you're a big fan of the show. I see you post about it on Facebook sometimes. I have not watched an episode of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood since the days of Sean Ricker. Remember Sean Ricker? You know who Sean Ricker is?
Hell yeah.
Eli Drake. That's right. That's where he cut his teeth. I remember when Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, was managing Sean Ricker in championship wrestling. In fact, I think Eli Drake was the last guy that he managed before he passed away. That's how long it's been. That's how long it's been since I've seen. Yes. So I have no idea what you're talking about with championship wrestling from Hollywood. Nobody does, because I don't think anybody actually in the chat right now watches the show.
Actually, I found out this morning or at lunchtime that Aaron Stevens, the former Damian Sandow, is booking the show.
I did not know that.
But he's already made a mistake.
And what might that be?
He has taken the Hollywood Heritage Championship away from Eric Watts and has given it to Peter Avalon's former tag team partner, Ray Rosa.
I didn't know Eric Watts was still wrestling. How old is he?
I think it's Eric Watts Jr.
Maybe it's not the same guy. It can't be the same guy. There's no way it's the same guy. Well, listen, though, this was good to get the update from you, because, again, I don't know what's going on lately in championship wrestling from Hollywood.
I am looking at his wrestling wiki file. He was born in 1985.
Okay, well, that's definitely not the Eric Watts I'm thinking of. So thank you for clearing that up, because that would have been very strange.
I'm also asking myself, isn't this the same Eric Watts that appeared on Tough Enough?
I don't know, but I know it's not the guy from Techno Team 2000. I know that much. Luis, listen, it's good to hear from you. I haven't gotten you on in a while, so I hope you're doing well. And unless you have something else, I'm going to take these last couple of calls here.
Well, that's all I have to say. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed in not seeing Eric Watts as champion. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. If maybe he'll pop up in AEW one day. If Cody ever brings back the Open Challenge for the TNT title, maybe he'll Eric Watts will have his shot. All right, Luis. I learned something new I didn't know tonight. So. I thank you for that, but I'm gonna move on. All right.
All right. Good night, Paul Monster.
All right. You have yourself a good night. The Eric Watts fan club president, Luis. I really thought it was the old Eric Watts. I'm like, Eric Watts is wrestling on independent dates. It's news to me. KC to most. I wish WWE would bring back the Camp WWE cartoon. Well, they are bringing back Storytime. Mean Gene Okerlund was the host before. And Jerry Lawler is replacing him as the new host of Storytime. So I know that's coming back soon. And Andy Jonathan with the $10. Thank you. Says, thanks for all you do. What about a singles run for Pentagon? Hey, I'm all for it. I thought that they were, when I found out he was coming in, I was kind of hoping that we would get to see a singles run for him, because that's how I knew him in Lucha Underground. Remember we got Pentagon Dark later on? I'm all for it. Phoenix, too. Phoenix had a nice singles run in Lucha Underground, too. So they were teasing a breakup tonight. I don't think they are breaking up, but I'm all for it. Even if they don't break up, they don't have to break up. They don't have to turn on each other. But to give them more singles matches, hey, sign me up. And then you can bring in Mil Muertes, and we could rekindle the Mil Muertes-Phoenix feud. I'm all for that. We are steamrolling towards 60K. My goal is to hit 60,000 before the anniversary, the 13-year anniversary of the show in November. And I think we have a pretty good shot. If we keep up at this clip, we might be able to pull it off. But I can't do that without you. So please hit that sub button on the way out and that like button. Be well, stay safe. And I will see you guys for the podcast coming up this weekend. Thank you, guys. Take care.